Thank you, Donna. On Saturday, May 11th, noon to 3 p.m., at the SLO Public Market, AAPI SLO, or Asian American and Pacific Islanders of San Luis Obispo County, will be celebrating Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month for the third time. And here today to talk about the third annual AAPI SLO Festival are AAPI SLO's co-founders, Mia Shin and Kayla Lee. Welcome, Mia and Kayla. I've never been to an AAPI SLO festival before. I'm really looking forward to going for the first time. What can I and other listeners who have never been to the festival before expect?
So at the AAPI SLO festival, you can expect all AAPI businesses and performances that are local to the Central Coast. We want to showcase our cultural foods ranging from Sichuan Kitchen, soul food, Bing Bao's, to local woven handmade art and jewelry. We will also be having performances, including dance teams from Cal Poly, ukulele performances, and Cal Poly's own lion dance team.
Wonderful. So soul food, too?
Yes. Soul food, as in Korean food, S-E-O-U-L.
Oh, okay. Good. Very good. I needed that clarification. Thank you. So, is there anything new at this year's AAPI SLO Festival that wasn't there in past years?
Well, we're just really excited that there are more ethnic groups represented in both our vendors and performers. There will be Taiwanese jewelry, Japanese crafts, a Korean watercolor artist, Indian food, Korean food, yay! I'm Korean American, I'm biased. Chinese dancers, a Vietnamese instrumentalist. So I'm really happy with the beautiful representation we'll have at this year's festival.
Wonderful. So tell me about the past two AAPI SLO festivals.
It was just a piecing together of what we felt we wanted. We wanted to see the smaller ethnic Asian groups all coming together collectively. And so it was just really learn as you go along, or in Cal Poly's motto, learn by doing. And so we were just relieved that we were able to successfully pull it off the first year. But now we're kind of getting the hang of things, and we're really excited this third go around to present our community in such a polished light.
So when was the first year?
April, correct me if I'm wrong, Kayla, but April of 2022. Right.
And then there was one in 2023?
Yes.
And when was that?
I'm sorry, May of 2022.
And May of 2022. Mm-hmm,
and 2023, and then now again May in 2024 at the SLO Public Market.
So it's always been at the SLO Public Market.
Yes, we love that space.
It's a nice space. So how did the idea of this festival or for this festival come about?
So we wanted to showcase our culture and traditions here on the Central Coast, as well as support all the local AAPI businesses. So this festival gives our allies and the AAPI community a chance to see how strong we are and the presence that exists here on the Central Coast. It also allows our allies to show their solidarity, as well as ensure that all the smaller different ethnic groups on the Central Coast have a chance to be represented. So it really shows the sense of community that we have and allows other people to celebrate our traditions and cultures as well.
And how about the fact that May is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month? How does the festival support or mark that occasion? Or is that why the festival is held in May?
Yes, it's definitely a big reason why the festival is held in May. Usually when it comes to different cultural heritage months, sometimes it could feel performative to just kind of slap a label on there. So we wanted to make sure that having this month be called AAPI Heritage Month actually has a meaning to it. There has to be celebrations following that label to ensure that that history is being celebrated. So it is important that this festival happens at this time.
So could you talk a little bit more about why it's important to bring visibility to Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders here in particular in San Luis Obispo and on the Central Coast.
Yeah, I'd like to tell some small stories today because I feel that these voices need to be heard. And so an example of the importance of this festival was really seen at our first annual festival. I remember a restaurant owner who came to sell, I think she sold out in the first hour or something. She was so encouraged to see so many Asian community members gathered in one place. You know, many times small business owners don't have a chance to connect with the greater AAPI community. So I could tell that this was a really big day for her. She's probably stuck in her own restaurant day in and day out. And she was so excited. She started handing out gift cards to everyone, anyone and everyone she saw. This really meant a lot to her. And it made me feel as though our work was worth it. The hard work was worth it just to see her being encouraged. And so that was a really great experience.
So she wasn't planning on handing out gift cards. She was just inspired by the moment and the community.
That's right.
Yeah, that's really lovely. So for those of our listeners who maybe have never heard the term or the acronym AAPI, or even Asian American Pacific Islander, what does that mean?
For me, well, the term is Asian American and Pacific Islanders of San Luis Obispo County, Asian American, including Native Hawaiian. But personally for me, it means celebrating our ethnic heritage, whether we're first, 1.5, second, or further removed generation from our ancestors, while claiming the fact that our diverse beauty is exactly what makes America beautiful. We have beautiful cultural practices that center family, community, respect, gathering around food, and a whole plethora of practices and values that define what makes America beautiful.
How about you, Kayla? What does Asian American Pacific Islander mean to you?
Very similar to what Mia said. It allows for a sense of community. It allows for a safe space to know that other people are going through similar experiences that we do, being part of an AAPI background. So it's really encouraging to have an understanding that there are others, because it can be isolating as well to feel as if you are the only person going through certain experiences, especially on the Central Coast.
Are you both from the Central Coast?
I'm a Cal Poly alumna. I've been here for a while and lived in the city of SLO for a total of 20 years. So I consider SLO my home.
Yeah. How about you, Kayla?
I'm originally from the Bay Area. I attended Cal Poly from 2017 to 2021, recent grad, and I have now moved back to the Bay Area. But during my time here, I definitely loved calling San Luis Obispo my home.
So as someone who falls under that larger AAPI Asian American umbrella, as someone who's South Asian, my parents are from India, you know, it took me quite some time to adopt that larger identity, right? We don't grow up being told, at least I didn't grow up being told that I'm Asian American, right? It was you're Indian American and South Asian American. Sometimes, you know, South Indian, Tamilian, right, Brahmin. And so when for each of you did you start to identify with that larger category and umbrella identity? When did it resonate for you and why?
I think for me, my parents came here back in the 80s, and that identity of being Asian American, even though specifically we're Korean American, being grouped as an Asian American, that has always been part of my experience. In good and bad ways, where maybe I can be someone who is a good representation or can educate other people about our culture, but also there has been this sense of being seen as the perpetual foreigner, where the way that I'm looked at is kind of in a general sense, oh, that person is just some Asian person. And so I think that part was a little bit difficult for me.
What about for you, Kayla?
So I'm Chinese descent. I'm mostly Chinese, but there is a small percentage of me that is from the Dai Tai area, which is actually the kind of the border of Myanmar and China. So in that sense, I've always identified with a Chinese identity, Chinese traditions, Chinese culture, but only recently have I tried exploring more of that Southeastern culture as well, of the Dai Tai community. And I think, you know, it's important to include all these smaller ethnic groups under this umbrella term of AAPI because it is part of Asia. I mean, if we think about it geographically, it is all under the continent of Asia. And, you know, to include these other groups, other ethnic groups, smaller, bigger, regardless, it only makes our community and our presence stronger. So, again, as I've said before, just identifying as AAPI, I feel very motivated, encouraged, and just stronger in my identity and who I am.
So when did you first learn about AAPI Heritage Month? Do you remember how you learned about it?
Yeah, the Heritage Month. For me, I don't quite remember when I first heard about it, but the month is not actually important to me. Performative actions aren't important to me, much like this interview. It does not matter to me how many people listen to our voices today. What matters is the action that takes place afterward by the listeners, not just in the month of May, but in their daily lives throughout the years. I would love to see an increase in the valuing of AAPI community members by each of your listeners, even when no one is looking, because sometimes constraining the celebration of a certain group of people to one month can make people feel like, okay, we've done our job. We've recognized these people. These people are valuable, and then maybe we're done. But we don't want that to be the lasting thing. We want it to be the valuing of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders throughout the year, every day, giving us a sense of belonging in this community. That's really what I would want to be the outcome of this kind of Heritage Month celebration.
Very good. Did you have anything to add to that, Kayla?
Yeah, I don't recall when I learned when AAPI Heritage Month became a thing. So honestly, growing up, I don't think it existed. And if it did, I definitely did not know about it. But hearing about it now as I've gotten older, I appreciate at least the sentiment behind it. There are steps being taken to kind of push against that model minority myth. And to show that Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders are much more than our stereotypes. So like Mia said, I do appreciate the sentiment of AAPI Heritage Month, but, you know, it goes beyond the performative actions and behaviors. It is not just one month out of the year, you know, this is our identity 24/7. So when AAPI Heritage Month comes around, I think it's a good time, at least for allies and even those of the community, to ask what our true intentions are behind certain things that we do. And the more genuine they are, you know, if people want to learn, definitely welcome with open arms.
I'm Lotta Murti with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. My guests today are Kayla Lee and Mia Shin, co-founders of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders of San Luis Obispo County, or AAPI SLO. and we are talking about the third annual AAPI Slow Festival to take place this Saturday, May 11th, 2024, from noon to 3 p.m. at Slow Public Market. We are also talking about the Asian American and Pacific Islander, or AAPI, community of California's Central Coast. So, Mia, it sounded like you were about to say something as well about Heritage Month, but in general, being AAPI or interacting with AAPI people.
Yeah, just the bit about valuing the community beyond the Heritage Month. Or beyond the performative ways. I just remember when the hate incidents were rising because of the COVID pandemic, I had two very stark different responses from some friends I knew for 10 years. And one person was kind of in denial of the hate that was happening. But then the other person, I could really tell that she was concerned about my well-being. She called and said, "How are you? Are you afraid? Has anything happened to you?" And that was coming from a genuine place of concern for her. That really showed me the difference between someone who might, be a friend for 10 years, but then the value was really seen in that question that was being asked personally to me about my welfare and my well-being during that time. So that was a heartwarming experience for me.
And so are these the kinds of actions you were referring to earlier that you would like more people to take year-round and not just recognizing in a performative way?
Right, definitely. Yeah. I think one of the things that happens to Asian Americans in general is that there's a sense of being unseen and unheard. So, for example, you may enter a business establishment that's owned by Asian Americans, but do you take time to get to know their names, learn about their heritage, value them and the service they provide by being generous? Those are the daily kinds of actions that I think really make an impact in the community.
Very good. Kayla, were you in this area during COVID?
Yes, I was in this area.
And did you have a similar experience like Mia was talking about, or what was it like for you?
I didn't actually experience as many microaggressions personally, but I definitely saw it in my environment around me. Even before the rise of the publicity of AAPI hate crimes, microaggressions started happening the second I kind of got into San Luis Obispo. For example, I was in an Uber freshman year, headed to Costco, and just making casual conversation. And the Uber driver said, "Oh, like, where are you from?" I said, "San Francisco." And his first statement afterwards was, "Your English is so good." Mm-hmm. And I know that there isn't any malintent behind that, but to assume that I wouldn't speak English or my English wouldn't be so good when I've lived in the U.S., California, my whole life, is a small microaggression that shows how much more work needs to be done, that how much more learning others need to do. And additionally, when COVID did come around, that's when me and I did get together to form our peaceful rally, bringing attention to the AAPI hate crimes, and thus later us forming AAPI Slow.
So tell me more about this rally.
Yeah, Kayla and her colleagues organized the Stop AAPI Hate rally. And that was really the catalyst for our organization forming. But the spa shootings that happened in Atlanta, Georgia, where a white man basically fetishized, objectified, villainized, targeted, and murdered Asian women, that was the tipping point for the Asian American community in the midst of the rise in the reporting of hate incidents. And you know, that was really what sparked the need for the rally. But I'm going to let Kayla tell you a little bit more about it because she's the one that got everything going and I happened to join in after. Kayla?
Yeah, thank you, Mia. So the rise of publicity in the AAPI hate crimes happened pretty soon after a large momentum happened for the Black Lives Matter movement. And there was a lot of youth-led peaceful rallies as well by some of my friends for the BLM movement. So I wanted to do the same for my community, especially as hate crimes were on the rise. We got together with them, and I wanted to make it known, like, this is not okay. I wanted to truly see, you know, who stood behind us in these trying times. And the day of the festival, the day of the rally, it was incredibly moving to see how many people came out, especially led by me and myself to Asian American women, when usually the stereotype for Asian American women are quiet or shy, meek even. You know, we don't tend to stand out as much, but that symbolism of two Asian women and how strong we can be using our voices to kind of show what we symbolize was incredibly moving. I had allies come up to me. I had friends of the AAPI community come up to me just thanking me for what was happening. And it was an incredibly emotional time, and it gave me the motivation to continue afterwards. Cause similar to the BLM movement, the Stop AAPI Hate Crimes cannot just be a trend of, you know, going out to peaceful rallies and making our voices known, and then once the rally's over, go home and continue with our daily lives. It has to be continual effort to bring attention, to educate, to learn to all our allies in differing communities that the AAPI community is strong on the Central Coast, and we're here to stay. So it was an incredibly moving time, and I'm very excited for the future that holds for AAPI as well.
So this rally was in 2021?
Yes.
And where was it held?
We started, I believe, in Mitchell Park and walked around downtown San Luis Obispo.
Mia, you had something to add?
Yeah, just a small story. After the rally ended, I met three young Asian American college students. They were all freshmen. And they were just lingering at Mitchell Park. And I thought, oh, they're not leaving. I better go over there and say hi to them. And they were so moved by the support of the allies that came out. I think we had something like 300 plus people there. And they felt so seen. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to buy you guys some coffee. Let me hear about your stories. Let me hear how you guys have ended up here in Cal Poly. And later on, they ended up becoming, we had the privilege of them becoming our first generation of interns for AAPI SLO. So I just remember that interaction and knew that that day was so impactful for our community as a whole. And I loved, being there as a support for them.
And what's been the lasting impact of that over these past several years?
Yeah, I think by far the greatest experience, and you can probably tell as I tell these stories, as a leader of the organization, is just the personal connections I've made with so many people. Our very existence as an organization allows people to feel a sense of belonging, of being heard, and a sense of safety. But also in practical ways, I've been involved in dialogues with Public Safety SLO, with Katie Granger, the SLO Police, AG Police, Council Leaders, and AG, Grover Beach, SLO, SLO City DEI, Cal Poly DEI Leaders. Just to share what we've learned about the lived experiences of the community members and take part. I would say another impact we've made, lasting impact, is to provide a hate incident reporting platform This is available in our social media and website. You can report a hate incident directly to us in person, anonymously, or report on behalf of somebody else anonymously. And this is, again, available on our website, aapislow.com, or our Insta or Facebook at aapislow. You know, but not everything gets reported. For example, I visit Cal Poly AAPI clubs to let them know about our presence in the community, to let them know we're here for them. And when I ask them, I say, okay, how many of you guys have experienced a hate incident during your short time here as a student? Many hands go up, and they might not have the courage to report it, even on our anonymous reporting platform, but it is happening. And we want to make sure they know we are here to support them, and that if they want, we can report it anonymously. Yeah, so those are some of the ways I feel we're impacting the AAPI community and making a difference.
Thank you for sharing that. So a festival, though, is very different from the kind of work that you've been talking about. So how did AAPI SLOW go from this rally, which was so important, right, not just for that moment, but afterwards, as you've both been saying, how did the organization go from that to a festival?
It was part of our debriefing when Kayla and I talked about the rally, and afterwards, we just were convinced that, okay, the feeling people might get, especially those who are performative, might say, okay, we participated in this rally. Now there's no more Asian hate in SLOW. We can pat ourselves on the back and we can be done. And we thought that's not what we want. I mean, rallies are necessary to give voice to the marginalized, the victimized and oppressed, but also a beautiful space where allies in the community can come together. At the same time, we wanted to make sure we could make these kinds of lasting changes for the community, that it won't be a one and done kind of situation. And so that's when we thought, okay, we need to start something here. And I'm just so glad that that Kayla and I could kind of come together and do this together. I don't think I would have had the courage to do something like this on my own.
Kayla, did you have something to add?
Mm-hmm. Adding to that, in just speaking about the dichotomy of, you know, going from very moving, peaceful rally that gathers a lot of people and making sure our voices are heard to something that is uplifting, like the AAPI SLOW Festival, is not only do we want to make sure our voices are heard and the microaggressions and macroaggressions against the AAPI community are recognized, we also want to show and celebrate what we stand for. I think it's important for at least those who don't know, you know, not only do we have certain negative experiences that make us stronger, but here are also positive experiences that make us who we are, that allows for us to celebrate each other. So we just wanted to make sure to highlight the positives as well. It's not just all bad when it comes to an AAPI identity and experience.
I'm glad you mentioned that. It reminds me of, during this same time, what I learned from the Black Lives Matter movement, that there needs to be a visibility of Black joy in addition to a Black struggle. And that's kind of what I'm hearing in what you're saying as well, for the need for yes, there needs to be a rally. There also needs to be celebration. We are going to take a short break to hear from our studio. Over to you, Hank.
Welcome back to Central Coast Voices. I am talking to guests Mia Shin and Kayla Lee, co-founders of AAPI SLO, and we have been talking about being Asian American on California's Central Coast, Asian American and Pacific Islanders of San Luis Obispo County, or AAPI SLO, and Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. We have also been talking about AAPI SLO's upcoming AAPI SLO Festival on Saturday, May 11th at SLO Public Market. So where can our listeners go to find out more about the festival? Their website?
There is a website, aapislo.com. Or if you have Instagram or Facebook, we're at AAPI SLO. If you like the email path, then you can email us at aapislocounty@gmail.com.
If listeners can't make it to the festival but still want to support it, what can they do?
We need project-oriented sponsors. So you can support us financially. For instance, for next year's festival, or there's something down the line, we would really love to work on a documentary highlighting AAPI lives here on the Central Coast, or to support our food center gatherings. We would love to continue providing this much needed work for the community. For instance, we're looking for our inaugural platinum and diamond plus sponsors in the amount of 1,000, 3,000, 5,000 amounts respectively. We're fiscally sponsored by Ecologistics, so the donation would be tax deductible. We're considered a nonprofit. And that kind of giving really helps us to continue this very important work. Another way to support is simply for listeners of your program to educate themselves through programs such as Asian American. That's a free documentary available on PBS, or to read books or listen to podcasts that share about the Asian American experience. And lastly, the most important contribution would be, again, to take genuine concern with community members who you interact with on a daily basis. So those are just some ways they can support if they can't make the festival.
Any other ways, Kayla?
Agree with Mia. You know, if you can't support financially, there are always other ways to support the AAPI community. Like Mia said, educating yourself, books, internet. Additionally, even just checking in on your AAPI friends, how they're doing, as you would with any friend. And especially through trying times when there are hate crimes, it's especially important then to show your support.
And during the break, Mia, you were talking about other organizations or people in the area as well who have supported AAPI SLO. You mentioned Courtney Hale.
Yes, I just wanted to give her a shout out. She, when Race Matters put on and BLMCA put on the rally for George Floyd at Mitchell Park, she had invited me to be one of the speakers. And I really feel as though that was a little bit of a push into the social justice realm. And since then, I've had coffee with her, asked her for advice, and kind of looked at her organization as a model. For instance, I know that she was all that organization was also sponsored, fiscally sponsored under Ecologistics. So I just wanted to give a shout out to her and the example that she is in this community, working with Black Lives. And I just appreciate all that she's really taught me, and her openness to having conversations about furthering our organization.
And Mia, you had mentioned organizations at Cal Poly, AAPI organizations. Yes. What's AAPI SLO's relationship to those organizations?
We visit, they have these general meetings. They, meaning the Japanese Student Association, the Nikkei Student Association, TVSA, the Chinese Student Association. There are all these little clubs on campus, and we love integrating them and inviting them into the work that we're doing. For instance, all three of our interns are current Cal Poly students, and there are several clubs that will be participating in our festival. So those are the interactions that we have. We just want to make sure that during a time when they feel as though they're not a permanent resident of this town, because maybe they're thinking of school as, oh, I'll only be here 4 or 5 years. We want to make sure we let them know that, no, you are part of our community. This is your home for the next 4 or 5 years. And we're here for you if you need support in any kind of way. So we love visiting with the clubs on campus.
Kayla, are you spreading the word about the festival as well up in the Bay Area?
Yes, I definitely spread the word up here with a bunch of my other Cal Poly alumni. Every time I come down, there's always a small group of my friends from Cal Poly that come down to help support it as well, which is greatly appreciated. Another example of how you can also just support the API community. You know, that effort is noticed and recognized.
Yeah, that's phenomenal to me, because I think, oh, the Bay Area has this huge Asian American community on its own, and why would they care about, right, the Asian American community down here? But there's this connection through Cal Poly, it seems like, and through this region. So it's reaching a much larger area.
Yes, absolutely. I do owe Cal Poly some lifelong friends for that, and I really do appreciate their support. And also, too, just having gone to school out here, they can sympathize with my experience as a student and understand the importance of showing up in spaces where the AAPI community may be smaller than, say, you know, the Bay Area or SoCal.
Very good. So what are you each looking forward to at this year's festival? Is there something in particular that you can't wait to see or experience?
I just want to see the faces of the people. When I'm there, it's almost as if I know this is, I don't mean this in any kind of snooty way or big-headed way, but I almost feel like I'm some kind of mayor of AAPI town or something. I just want to say hi to everyone, talk to everyone. Do you have everything you need? How do you feel about this? Are you having a good time? What can I get for you? I just love that sense of belonging. So I can't wait to see everyone's face there. And then on top of that, I see all of my friends who have become allies to our community. Seeing them come out specifically to show their support is just deeply moving and meaningful to me.
So when you mention allies, you're talking about those who don't identify as Asian American or Pacific Islander, but support the community and the event.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kayla, what are you most looking forward to at the festival?
Yeah, every year that we've had it so far has just left me with the most heartwarming feeling and realizing the community is strong on the Central Coast. And that's probably what I look forward to most, is seeing our efforts and our intentions actually come to fruition, whether that be allies and those of the AAPI community celebrating each other's culture, or also local AAPI folks coming to see what we've done for the Central Coast of all ages. Because there is definitely a thing, too, within the older AAPI generations to kind of keep to yourself, you know, don't look into any other one's business, and, you know, just stick to a straight line to be successful. But the AAPI Slow Festival brings everyone of all ages, and seeing the smiles that comes to everyone's faces is just such a great feeling, and knowing that we are doing exactly what we came here to do.
Yeah, I especially love seeing the varied generations, and that's an intentional you know, strategy that we have is to reach out to varying generations. For instance, SLO High School has an AAPI club that comes regularly to volunteer. They put up flyers last year. They sold T-shirts 1 year. So we have them involved. We have the Cal Poly students involved. We have longstanding residents. And last year, I saw a lot of new people who had moved from other places to the Central Coast. They came and they thought, oh, wow, there's a lot of Asian people here. So I'm really glad that there are these varying sectors all coming together to celebrate.
So you talked about food, performances. Are you also having speakers or games, or what else can we look forward to?
Because the time is super short, from noon to 3 o'clock, it will just be me and Kayla sharing more about our organization, because many people, you'd be surprised, I run into a lot of Asian American people on the streets or in shops, and I'll ask them, hi, let me introduce myself. Are you new to this area? And I'll introduce them to our organization. Oh, I haven't heard of it. I don't follow it. And so then I introduce it to them, tell them to tell their friends. And so that's really interesting to me that they haven't really quite been able to find us. So we really appreciate that you're having us on KCBX. And I'm rambling here, but you can take it away again, Lata.
No, I was just trying to find out what else is happening at the festival. Anything else, Kayla, that's happening that we haven't mentioned yet?
Yeah, we'll have the performers. We have the food. We will also have a lot of artists portraying their traditional jewelry and artwork. Additionally, we do have little lawn games here on the side, cornhole, just little side activities. There will be plenty of tables for people to gather and build in within their community.
So something for all ages?
Yeah, fun for all ages, most definitely.
Very good. And tell us again where we can find out more about the festival. Website and on social media?
Yes, you can find us at aapislo.com for our website. And then our Instagram and Facebook is at AAPISLO. And if anyone ever needs to reach out for whether it be safe spaces or support for your own individual projects, questions about our org, feel free to email us at aapislocounty@gmail.com.
Very good. So what's on the horizon? You've had a rally now. You've had three festivals, or you will soon have three festivals, and you have the hate crime or hate reporting, not necessarily hate crimes, but any kind of hate reporting on your website. Any other plans moving forward?
Yeah, I think I mentioned earlier that we would love to work on a mini documentary highlighting all the beautiful stories of the Central Coast AAPI community members. I think there is a pattern. When I visit these Cal Poly clubs, I ask them, the other question I ask besides the hate incident is, who plans on staying in the area or trying to find a job in the area when they graduate? And who is moving back, maybe to the Bay Area or to SoCal? And a majority of them move away, maybe because they don't see that kind of cultural representation. So I feel that having some kind of documentation or documentary highlighting the stories of longtime residents here, as well as college students, maybe high school students, that can play an integral role in making people see, okay, I can carve a space for myself here. I can be part of the community. I can feel a sense of belonging here. So I would love to work on that kind of mini doc. And also we continue to have smaller gatherings, such as food-centered gatherings. We've had a couple coffee gatherings for young professionals, and we want to provide more ways for the average person, when they're just looking on our social media site, to be able to find ways of connecting with other people who are maybe in the same stage of life. And another thing is, I realized that this year that we do need to improve our hate incident reporting, the way we go about that, because many members of the community are willing to talk personally to someone about it, but may not have the courage to report it. So we're going to have to find a creative way of making better and more personal connections so that these things are being reported, so that the leaders in the community can have a better sense of our climate and the climate that we face here on the Central Coast.
This is Lotta Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you will find this show and many others to choose from. My guests for today's show are the co-founders of AAPI SLO, or Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders of San Luis Obispo County, Kayla Lee and Mia Shin. And we are talking about AAPI SLO, as well as the upcoming AAPI SLO Festival on Saturday, May 11th, noon to 3 p.m. at SLO Public Market. So what has your work with AAPI SLO meant for each of you personally? Kayla?
Hi, Lotta. So the work with what we have done means a lot to me, as we said before. Not only are we trying to educate our allies, but we are also educating ourselves within the AAPI community, because there is such a diversity within the AAPI community, ranging from larger ethnicity groups to smaller ethnicity groups that don't get recognized as much. So while we shine a light on that, we are also shining a light on the presences of those communities on the Central Coast, allowing our own community and our allies to support these businesses, artwork, performances, food, you name it, miscellaneous items. It allows us to support, it allows us to highlight them and learn at the same time. And in doing this for the past several years, we have grown much larger, and it's encouraging and motivating to see, and pushing us to continue our work, because we're only getting bigger, better, and stronger as an AAPI presence and community in San Luis Obispo.
Wonderful. Mia, you've talked a little bit about the personal meaning and impact, but is there anything you'd like to add about what this work has meant to you?
Yeah, I feel a great sense of fulfillment. And I know the listeners can't see my face, but Lotta, you can see my face when I'm telling these stories. I feel a great sense of fulfillment when I see how the social justice work I do through AAPI SLO really empowers my faith work. I mean, I am a Korean American woman pastor, a bit of a unicorn. I strive to do in my work with AAPI SLO and my ministry space what Jesus did, to go where the people are, to love, to care for, to value and give life to the marginalized and unvalued. I see justice work being in full harmony with my faith, and find great fulfillment in loving and caring for people. I feel like my life experiences involving racism, bullying, abuse, marginalization, and victimization, all of these things influence how I operate in both the AAPI SLO space and the ministry space. And I'm utterly grateful to participate in this work. And really, Kayla is the perfect partner. And I just love working with her.
What is your ministry?
Currently, it is the Unnamed Church, And that's not the official name. That I'm just simply saying it's unnamed. It is a church plant that is very, very recent, and we're getting ready to launch. But if, you know, listeners want more information or to upkeep with the announcements coming up, they can follow me on my personal Instagram.
Very good. So you've mentioned several times, Kayla, that there are many smaller ethnicities under the AAPI umbrella of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. And I identify in part, I mean, I can't say it's a smaller ethnicity, but there's always been this tension, right, of where South Asians fit, and not just South Asians, but so many other groups. And so I've heard, you know, the name of our group, our racial group in the U.S. change over the years. And something I've heard recently is APIDA, Asian Pacific Islander Desi Americans, with Desi Americans referring to those of us from South Asia. I've heard other variations, but that's the one that I've heard most often recently. What do you both think of these other ways to name the community, and do you see AAPI SLO ever adopting one of those names or changing in relation to that?
I think these different acronyms are great. There's a reason that the different acronyms exist. For example, the Desi community, there's also AA, I believe NHPI is another acronym.
Yes.
And it just shows and highlights, you know, whether it be a smaller ethnic group or perhaps an ethnic group that isn't usually recognized as Asian, to be Asian, you are part of the AAPI community. And so adding those extra letters to represent those communities is important to show the rest of the world, whether it be part of the AAPI community or your allies, that, you know, you are a part of the Asian community. So I think it's great. It's important to highlight. But as for our name, me and I feel that we likely wouldn't change our name, simply because of the brand we have built for ourselves on the Central Coast. And additionally, to us, all of these AAPI ethnic groups fall under the umbrella acronym of Asian American and Pacific Islander. But we actively try our best in our work and in our actions to be inclusive of all Asian communities and Pacific Islander communities, including these smaller ones or other groups that tend not to get recognized as part of the AAPI. Thus, you have the APIDA or AANHPI acronyms.
And AANHPI is Asian American Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders?
Correct.
Very good. Did you have anything to add?
No, yeah. Kayla said it perfectly.
Very good. So what advice or words of experience or wisdom do you have for AAPI listeners or any AAPI people who may be feeling isolated and don't have an organization like AAPI SLO or any AAPI organization or a celebration like the AAPI SLO Festival? What insights might you have for them?
I think for those who are in our county, in SLO County, the advice would be more towards allies. If you know of any Asian American community members who maybe feel isolated or can't really connect in your various circles of influence, let them know we exist. Say, hey, have you heard about this organization? You can email them directly. You can connect with them on social media. Do you know that they have coffee meetings? Do you know that? So it really is up to the majority to really help those who are feeling isolated, to help them along and connect them to resources. And if you have AAPI listeners who have a particular type of gathering in your area, so let's say we have some AAPI listeners here today, we would be happy to support and collaborate on new ideas. Please reach out to us. Kayla and I stay closely connected with all communication channels. She's great with her communication on social media, and I really do personally check that email address. So we want to hear from you so that you don't feel isolated. We thought about, when we first created the Instagram account, we thought, okay, do we want this to be some kind of bigger organization, or do we? But we, especially in the COVID era, we found that people are looking for that small community organization feel. They want to be connected. So we really do want to hear from you.
Thank you. I want to thank our guests today, Mia Shin and Kayla Lee, co-founders of AAPI SLO, or Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders of San Luis Obispo County. We've been talking about AAPI SLO, AAPI Heritage Month, and the third annual AAPI SLO Festival on Saturday, May 11th, noon to 3 p.m. at SLO Public Market. Go to their website. Tell us the website again.
AAPISLO.com.
Or social media to find out more. Next week, join host Chris Kington Barker as she talks to guests about the film The Chaplain of Oakland and impacts of discriminatory and inequitable healthcare practices. You are invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation on Thursday, May 16th, between 1 and 2 p.m. Central Coast Voices has been sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX. I'm Lotta Murty. Thank you for joining us today.